Hi, I'm Jennifer, and I'm here in Tel Aviv with Ellen Shapiro, who I've had the pleasure of spending the past week with in Israel. Ellen, please tell me what your full title is within the Ministry of Tourism.
It's a bit of a mouthful. I am the Director of Public Relations for North America for the Israel Ministry of Tourism.
And I have really been very privileged to be here. I have to tell you, I was a bit nervous coming because of the war. And me personally, I've felt both safe. I mean, also I was with a guide, I was with a group. But I also felt that this was a very special time to be here. It was my first time in Israel. And I'd like to ask, if you don't mind, in the past 6 months since the attack, what has been going on with tourism? How have people within the business been surviving?
So it has been very difficult, and that's not surprising. And it is, to me, quite heartbreaking, and it is for a lot of people within the industry. There have been some extremely remarkable things that have happened as a result of October 7th, the attacks, and the aftermath. And that has been the banding together of the community and the unity within the community. And
do you have specific examples?
I'd be happy to share those. A number of hotel properties started taking in the domestic refugees. So the people who were evacuated from the communities along the Gaza border that were attacked, all of those small townships, and there many of them are kibbutzim, which are sort of small communal towns. People had to evacuate those communities. Many of them were attacked, and those that weren't attacked, the border, it wasn't a secure border anymore. So those people were evacuated to different hotels, many at the Dead Sea, and many at Eilat, which is the southernmost point in Israel. And then once there was a certain point at which the government decided to make sure that everybody, all the people within Israel felt safe, and so they had some of the people at the way far north also in evacuated so they could be in hotels and feel safe and comfortable.
And are those people still in the hotels? Have they returned home? Have they been placed in longer term situations?
So 70% of the evacuees are now either back home or in some kind of a more permanent residence, so that they're not, again, today is the 6 month anniversary of those October 7th attacks. And so it's hard to live out of a hotel, no matter how lovely and how welcoming they are. So they're in apartments, or they've been welcomed into other communities. So it's down to about 30%.
Which I'm glad people are moving forwards. And that is quite remarkable. Did the hotels decide to do this? Was it a choice by the government for the people to stay in hotels? How did that come about?
So the government certainly has been supporting financially with the hotels that have taken in these domestic refugees, is how I refer to them. They're evacuees, however you want to call them. However, a lot of the hotel properties, when this happened, they sprung into action. The hotel groups, different hotel individual hotel properties, some of the hotel groups, they sprung into action and they said, what can we do to help? How can we welcome these people? How can we help them to recover?
And now, how are these hotels beginning to recover? And not just the hotels, but the restaurants, the many people affected by tourism. Are tourists coming back to Israel?
So, not surprisingly, it's a slow recovery. I understand that people from abroad have concerns. I completely understand that. That said, there are a number of different groups, so to speak, of people who have realized, hey, we want to support Israel, and we want to support the people of Israel, we want to support the businesses in Israel, And so there have been a number of different organizations, as well as individuals who banded together and decided to come to Israel, whether it means to volunteer, whether it means to come and visit family, or simply to do some modest touring so that they can help support the tourism industry here in Israel.
And aside from the people that you are seeing already in the country trickling in, have you seen signs of more interest in the nearer future? Are people emailing, getting in touch, reaching out?
So there definitely have been people who have expressed interest. And what I can tell you is there have been a couple of really interesting things that have happened that I have been surprised about. So I work in PR, as you know, and I work primarily with media and celebrities. And so that has been a bit tricky because, of course, if I'm working with mainstream media, a lot of times, you know, they're going to publish things about the imminent future of people being ready to hop on a plane and go there. And, and right now, a lot of those publications are not particularly interested in covering Israel. That said, my colleagues who deal a lot with travel advisors and go to conferences, at first we thought after October 7th, you know, we really shouldn't go to these things. There might be some hostilities. It may feel maybe not safe for them to be there. And what's interesting is once they started going, they were welcomed so warmly. And the travel, it's been absolutely fascinating and quite heartwarming. There was something, first of all, there have been some conferences with travel advisors, and people go up to the booth and they hug my colleagues and they talk to them and they say how sorry they are about what happened and also how much they support them. And they may even say, listen, my travelers, my clients aren't necessarily ready to go right now, but we stand by, we are ready to be booking those trips so that people can return to Israel. And then at Cruise World in Florida, that one of my colleagues gave a presentation there and got a standing ovation. It was really incredible. It was really moving, and it buoyed us up. It felt like, hey, you know, people there are some people who are supporting us. And that felt really, really good, because it's a hard time.
And I just want to ask you, it's a bit maybe more of a personal question. What is special about Israel for you?
The list is long.
Okay.
Really, really long. I have found in Israel, I came to Israel for the first time when I was 14. And I had a lot of friends who had been to Israel, and I really wanted to go. I grew up in a family, my parents were both teachers, we didn't have a ton of money. And so I was trying to figure out, like, how can I go to Israel? And so I was invited to join a program, and the long and short of it is I saved up enough money, and I went to Israel, and I was there one summer for 6 weeks with a combined group of kids from abroad, and then the other half of the group was made up of other Israeli kids. And it was a life-changing experience, and the thing that I found, I was extremely shy as a kid, and what was absolutely fascinating to me, there's an expression, and it may be a little bit dated right now, but Israelis are called, those born in Israel are called sabras. And a sabra comes, there's a cactus, and the cactus fruit is a tzabar, which is the prickly pear. It's a prickly pear. And what they say about Israelis is that they're prickly on the outside and they're warm and sweet on the inside. And I found that to be incredibly true, that once you kind of break through that tough shell, you're family forever. And so it's an incredible experience. I mean, I don't know how you felt in dealing with our guide, Mika, but she's not so prickly. She's warm and wonderful. But it's, I mean, you really feel like you're part of the family.
Yeah.
And there's something about that that's just it just makes you really feel welcome.
Thank you very much for speaking with me and for making me feel part of a family for the past week. It really has meant a lot to me.
It has been my absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I am Jennifer Lutz, and this is Inside a Travel Report.